begin reading the 53rd verse, Mark 6:53. We started out on Wednesday night. We talked a little bit about the woman who had an issue of blood. We'll mention her again probably here in a little while. But talk about the touch and touching Jesus. And it's just been on my heart all week since then, even before that, but since then especially, about pressing in and actually touching Christ. And so I want to talk about that just a few minutes this afternoon. And with you, Mark 6:53. Well, that's where I said go, wasn't it? So I bet you, if I was a betting man, I'd bet you that's where I need to be too. Mark 6:53. And it says this, and when they had passed over, they come into the land of the Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick when they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, as many as touched him were made whole. Father, we bless you this afternoon. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here once again to worship you, to feed on your word, and to be led of your spirit. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a world full of turmoil. We talked about that a little bit this morning, but would you agree we're in a world full of turmoil? And isn't it nice to know that we have a friend in Jesus? He's our friend today. He himself told us that he was a friend that would stick closer than a brother. That's his words. There is a friend, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's Jesus. He's that one. Brothers and sisters might forsake you, might not have anything to do with you, might be a couple years before you hear from them. But Jesus is that friend that he is closer than your relatives. And every one of us in different times of our lives, we've absolutely needed a close encounter with our Lord and Savior. That comes pretty often on my behalf. I need a close encounter with Jesus. And you know what I found out? Every time I need it, every time I desire a close encounter with Christ, I have one. And if I press in, I'll receive what I need from him. It's more than just a casual chat or a wave to him in the distance. More than knowing that he cares or that he's my friend. More than all that, we need a close encounter. Come on, church. We need a close encounter. And that's probably lacking in many people's lives, and that's probably one of the reasons we don't get what we need when we ask, because we don't press in for that encounter. We have a casual acquaintance with him when we need to have an intimate acquaintance with him. We wave at him in the distance, say, hey, there's Jesus, that's my Savior. But yet we don't say, hey, Jesus, like the blind man did. We don't press through the crowd like the lady with the issue of blood does. We don't go around the country and say, come over here, Jesus is moving in this place, come over here. We don't, because we fail to recognize we need a close encounter. And it takes more than just speaking it, although you speak in faith. Sometimes you got to put some legs to your prayer. These folks, when Jesus came to the seashore here, and we'll get on into it in just a minute, but they recognized that Jesus had arrived. He had just come across the sea. He had moored his boat there at that dock and at the land of the Gennesarets. And here he was. He stepped out of the boat. Someone saw him and said, that's him. That's Jesus. That's the one I've been hearing about. And he didn't just say, run up to him, hey, Jesus, I need something. He said, Where are you going? He probably said, where are you staying? Where are you going to be? Because I'm going to go gather some other people who need an experience and an encounter with you. And because the word of God says, when they come out of the boat straightway, they knew him, and they ran through the whole region about, beginning to carry about in beds those that were sick to where he was. They knew where he was going to be, and they went to gather up everyone they could get that was sick, who needed a touch from the master's hand, and they went to get them to bring them to Jesus so that they could just touch him. He didn't have to touch them. They just, if I could just touch him. Church, do you understand that Jesus, although Jesus is here today, you don't see him, but you can touch him? You can't physically see him, but yet spiritually you can touch him? But if you don't expect, you don't go, you don't press through, you won't receive what you need from God. Preacher, wait, oh, there's a lot of sick people in our church. I understand that. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to press you down. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to let you know there is hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is healing, and it's in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance, and it's in the name of Jesus. We have victory, and it's in the name of Jesus. But there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. And so they spread the word. Jesus is here. He's here. Well, ladies and gentlemen, last Sunday we had one of them services where everybody say, oh, didn't we have a good service? Pastor didn't preach. Well, why was that? Why was that? Was it because pastor was lazy and didn't prepare something? No. Was it because he got angry at all you guys? Ah, they don't deserve what I got, just didn't give it to you? No. It's because Jesus was here. Manifested himself through the Holy Spirit to meet needs. Now, how many needs got met? Every need that was presented in faith, and the folks pressed through, received the help, the strength, the healing they needed. Well, I didn't get my healing. Don't blame God. He was here. He manifested himself, right? He didn't just come down here and give you some spiritual goosebumps, give you some chill, you know, make your spine tingle. He came to meet and minister to your need. That's why he was here. That was it. But they went to every village all around the region and to bring everyone that was sick to Jesus. That's faith. That's faith. They went and said, Jesus is here. If you'll come where he's at, you'll receive. How many times do we do that? Huh? More times than not, we don't. Correct? Come on, correct me if I'm wrong. Oftentimes, we don't even speak among ourselves, well, Jesus is here, so I can receive. Instead, it's, well, I hope. Maybe so. Come on, that's our attitude. I hope so. Maybe so. It might happen. Or we'll take an opposite, not an opposite, but a desperate cry and say, nobody, he never does nothing for me. He never touches me. Well, maybe it's because you didn't touch him. Maybe you didn't press through to touch his garment. But preacher, you didn't anoint me with oil. I don't have to. If Jesus is in the midst, all you got to do is touch him. And you don't need me to touch him. I'm an instrument, but you don't need me. Preacher, that's not very good job security. I don't care. I want you to be healed. And you don't have to. Yes, at times that's what the word says to do, but you don't have to always do it. Press through. Well, if you're sick and dying and you can't get to anybody, what are you going to do? It's like, well, I guess I'm going to die. No, you better get to praying. So, well, somebody come help me and somebody call the preacher. Well, somebody better pray until the preacher gets there. What if he can't make it on time? You're just going to die because you don't have enough faith and you think the preacher does? What if him and his wife's been fighting? What if he's sick and he don't feel like going anywhere? Maybe he's had a bad week. Maybe his hair is just not working this week for him. You understand what I'm saying? You need Jesus. You don't need the preacher in that sense. Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'll pray with you. Yes, I'll be there for you. But folks, it's about, God laid this on my heart. Now don't get mad at me. I may not be getting across right, but you need Jesus. And so they went around everywhere. They brought the sick to Jesus. In every village that Jesus came to, they brought the sick to him. Jesus didn't go to all of them. He came to the region and they brought them to him. Don't you think we ought to be doing the same thing? If the power of God's manifested in this church or you've got the power, don't you think we ought to be bringing people to Jesus? Hey, you got a need. I've prayed for people in the frozen food section at Fire Lake. I have. I've had people come, would you pray for me? Well, yeah, I'll pray for you. No, I mean right now, preacher.
You mean now?
Yeah, right now. I need a touch from Jesus right now. I don't need it next week or tonight when you think about it. I need it right now. Okay, let's pray. Prayed for people in Walmart? You have? Yes. I don't pray a Johnny Churchwell prayer where it's loud and whole. I don't get on a loudspeaker with it, but I do pray. Ronnie Churchwell, he gets loud, man. He prays for you at the hospital. The whole hospital is going to know he's praying. There's nothing wrong with that. I just don't pray quite that way. I want you to know it. I want Jesus to know it, but I want you to walk out of there healed, but so man, that's what's wrong with me. That's what's wrong. I don't pray loud enough. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. But I appreciate Brother Ronnie. He don't care. He just prays, man. Gets with it. But you know what? Loudness don't equate spirituality. Or is quietness equate not spiritual either. You understand? There's difference in people. That's all that is. It's just difference in people and style. So I don't know why I said it. But they did all in their power. Those folks, when they heard Jesus had landed, did everything in their power to touch him. They did their part. How many of you know, and you've seen, people who they've been sick for a week, 2 weeks. They finally get to church and say, would you pray for me? How long have you been sick? 2 weeks. Huh? You've been sick 2 weeks? And you're finally well enough to come to church? He wants to pray for you. Do you not understand that you could have touched Jesus 2 weeks ago? You could have released your faith 2 weeks ago? You could have received your healing 2 weeks ago? You could have came today and gave a testimony of what God did weeks ago. And then encouraged someone else's faith to know that God does it. Now, I'm not discounting the need of a church. Y'all know better than that. I'm not discounting anointing people with oil and praying for them. That's not what this is about. It's about touching Jesus. That's what this is about. Look at Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3. This is the first of 8 times in the Bible, and I won't read them all, that Jesus touched somebody. He says, when he come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said, go tell no man, but go show yourself to the priest and take your gift to, like the word says do, because he's still in the Old Testament then, or the Old Testament rules and regulations concerning that. But he says, I will, behold. Don't you think he'd do the same thing if you'd approach him today and say, Jesus, I'm very ill. I need a touching body. Don't you think he would say, I will, behold? Don't you believe that? It's true. He does. He still heals. I know we're trying to grasp it. We're trying to wrap our minds around it because some of us have lost loved ones and some of us know some people are sick and been sick a long time and we're trying to wrap our mind around this and I know it's hard sometimes. It's difficult and some of you lost loved ones and you thought they'd be healed and they weren't it's difficult sometimes. I know it's hard to wrap your mind around it, but Jesus still heals. I mean, I, 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 17 years ago, I had to wrap my mind around it when my dad died. It's like, I seen him shout, first time he ever shouted in his life. He'd come to church the Sunday before he's going to have an operation for cancer, and he shouted all from down there, right in this area right here, just shouted and just got the victory, and thought, all right, Dad got healed. He's dead in 3 months. He didn't get healed, but yet he got healed. When you watch a loved one get the victory like that, and you see them go through this trial, and at the end of their days, when they can't mutter anything except victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, you know they got healed. They got all they needed that night. They got the courage and the ability to face tomorrow. It was hard. Somebody's faced stuff like that. It's hard. It's difficult. But doesn't change the fact that he heals. When they come, Jesus touched many. They were healed. God never says no to those who come to him in faith. Never says no. We're Pentecostal people, and we pray, we teach healing. And we watch our loved ones die sometime and never seem to receive their healing. And we question why. Was it my faith? Was it their faith? Was there this? Was there that? We question it, don't we? Every one of us do. But doesn't change the fact that Jesus is the healer. Probably every one of you here in this congregation today can testify the fact that he has healed you at one time or another. I can. Has he not healed you? He's healed almost all of us. Probably every one of us at one time or another. But yet we've all faced times when he didn't seem to heal, right? We face that. So it's hard to wrap your mind around it. Matthew 7:7 says this. We'll back up just a little bit. Matthew 7:7. Now this is the Word of God, so if it's the Word of God, it has to be true, correct? So I'm not telling you something that's not in the Word of God. So if it's in the Word of God, it has to be true. Or it wouldn't be in there. Because God doesn't lie, correct? I mean, you have to agree with that, don't you? Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Pretty plain, isn't it? Ask, seek, knock. Well, we have to ask in faith. Well, preacher, I don't know if I have enough faith. Yes, you do, because it says, to every man has been measured, has given a measure of faith. Right? And he says, in another scripture, if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll be removed and cast into the sea. So it just takes a little bit of faith. It's all it takes, and everybody has enough faith to see God move. You got, I don't know, it's difficult to make it work sometimes, but it's there. It's for us. Come on now. I know you question things sometimes. We all do. I know we do. I pray for my wife this morning. She went home sick. I mean, and I'm preaching about faith this afternoon. My wife's home sick. Well, whose faith is it? Is it my lack of faith or her lack of faith? Or is it that Jesus just won't touch her? That's a good question, isn't it? Whose fault is that? We ask. We sought. We knocked. She's homesick. Or she left here sick. Let's put it that way. You know what? She's so dedicated to her place of... She didn't want to leave till she got through playing the piano. I said, no, you go home. But I said, go home and lay down. Because she was hurting. She said, I said, we'll get by without the piano. Go home. And we did just fine without the piano. If we'd had one of them deals they toot and get the tune correct, we'd have done even better, wouldn't we? Well, the reason I say that, Christina, because I was at a Church of Christ service and they got one of them little deals. They get the key and they go, they blow, I can't even get a tune there, but they blow that thing and they get the key, right? That was so cool when I seen that time. You talk about raising the roof in worship, singing them old hymns at the Church of Christ. It was beautiful. I was shocked. I was aggravated. It ain't supposed to sound that good without music. But it did. It was beautiful. I had a wrong opinion. It changed my opinion. Have you ever had a wrong opinion and you had it changed? That changed my opinion about their singing. It really did. They ask, it says ask in faith. So ask means we must crave. And one commentary said even beg or to desire and require and demand what is ours through our redemption. Part of the redemption is healing. So we have a right to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal me. Because that's part of the redemption. It's not asking amiss. It's not asking for something you shouldn't ask for. It's asking for something that has been already promised if you have faith. Right? That's what that is. So you can ask. And he will, and so you can require or even demand, Father, your word says. Have you ever done that? Most of us don't because we're afraid of offending God. You can't offend God with his word. If his word says it, you can say, Father, your word says. And if your word says, you are required. Because you don't lie. Y'all getting this? You don't lie. So if your word says it, you must do it. And I'm asking it in faith. And I'm asking it with gratitude. I'm not demanding it. I'm not trying to heap something up on my own lust, Lord. I need my healing. Touch me. So they ask them. So it's so the idea is to demand or ask something that because of your family and redemptive rights. You're not asking amiss. You're saying, this is what you say, I'm a part of the family of God. This is part of the redemption, my redemptive rights, so I'm asking for it. I need my healing. My loved one needs their healing. I need you to bless me in this way. And so God says, so the first letters of ask, seek, and knock, what do they spell out? Ask. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Ask. Ask and you shall receive. We fail to ask. We really did. And then we fail to have faith. Sometimes we just don't ask. We'll go into our prayer closet or we'll mumble around all these things are going bad for us. And oftentimes we'll say, y'all need to pray. What do you mean? Y'all need to pray. Why don't you pray? Won't you get out of your bad attitude? Won't you quit blaming God and pray? Believe that he's going to meet your need. Okay, we're moving on. If it is God's will that we ask, and if we ask, we should receive. It's God's will. We'll get what we want. And I'm not asking about heaping a bunch of money. So, God, I need $1 million, and I expect you to give it to me. I'm not saying anything about that. It has nothing to do with that. That's not right. That's probably wrong prayer anyway. Oh, you might need $1 million, or thank you, dude. Do you really? My cousin said one time, George, he said, you know, a lot of people were always asking for money and wanting God to give them this and give them that and want them to bless them with a whole bunch of money. He said, probably the reason God don't, because God knows he can't trust them with it. They wouldn't do what they're supposed to do with it anyway. They'd probably quit church. So God's not going to give them that opportunity. Like, well, Lord, let me check. Really, you understand that? A lot of people, they get a lot of money and stuff. They feel like they're doing all right. They don't need God no more. Isn't that terrible that God has to hold you hostage because your attitude's not correct? I didn't even borrow my sermon. But isn't that something? If God would have to hold you hostage and keep you poor because he can't trust you? I want God to trust me with whatever he gives me, that I'll do what's right with it. Sister Carol was thinking about doing the lottery the other day. Okay, she wasn't, but we talked about it. Okay, I brought it up. But
I told her, you know, Carol, if I thought God would forgive me, y'all hang with me here, and I could play it one time for $1 and win that big one. I said, wouldn't that be wonderful what I could do with all that money? All the missionaries I could help, the people in our church that I could give money to. I mean, just give it away. Take care of my family's needs, give my family money, give y'all money, take care of the church. I'd lose my credentials, by the way. After they received the tithe off of it, they would take my credentials away from me. They'd get their part first. Stone, we need to come in and visit with us. You got to pay your tithes off that lottery money. Oh, by the way, once you get them paid, we're going to take your credentials from you because we're against lotteries. Well, I'm not going to play the lottery, by the way, in case some of y'all are thinking, well, he's thinking about playing. I'm not thinking about playing the lottery. We were just supposing, just talking, how great it would be to have all that money to spend on the kingdom. But yet, if I was to win $300 million, would I spend it all on the kingdom? Or would I all of a sudden decide that I'm God? And I wouldn't even give you any of it because, you know, y'all probably would waste it anyway. Because you're not taking care of what you got now, so you sure wouldn't take care of $100,000 if I gave it to you. You'd just waste it. Who knows what my attitude would be when I was high and lifted up and had everything I thought I needed. What did the Bible say? Go to now, rich man, weep and howl. What did he tell a rich young ruler? He said, well, I got all this. He says, well, give all you got to the poor. Take up your cross. Follow me. What do you say? Well, you say what? Give what to who? Anyway, the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had a lot. Turns men's hearts away from God, doesn't it? Oftentimes, more often than not, it turns men's hearts away from God. There are good people that know how to handle money. Some of their names are Green. And they live in Oklahoma City and Moore and Edmond. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Another person's name's Truett Cathy. They know how to handle money. Owner of Chick-fil-A. Founder of Chick-fil-A. The founder of Hobby Lobby, the Greens. They know how to handle money. And they give them thousands, millions away every year. They've built churches around our nation. But not everybody's that good. And that has nothing to do with my sermon, does it? But you getting the point? We got to ask correctly. In faith. We must not, James, let's go to, we need to understand this. Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. You don't have to turn there. We're not even going to camp there at all. The Lord is my shepherd, so we shall not want. We trust God, don't we? We put our faith in Him. James 1:5. And I'll begin to wind this down. See, my wife's not here to say, give me that look or that. Start saying stuff. And I'll say, I look over there and she'll give me the evil eye. And I thought, okay, change gears. Go somewhere else. She's not here to do it today. So I'm about to get in trouble. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see what he says? If we want to have the right kind of faith, we must not stagger at the promises of God. If God's word says it, we have to believe it. And get it pounded into our minds and into our hearts that God said it. And we can receive what God said. It's ours. It's our promise from God to us. We must not stagger at it. If we doubt, we are like a wave. You ever seen the waves out in the sea or even at Lake Eufaula or some other lake on a windy day, how they come up and then they go down. They come up and they go down. And God's saying, when you waver, you're like a wave being blown. You're up one day, you're down the next. You believe it and then you don't. You accept it, then you don't. You understand? I got faith, then you don't have no faith. He says you're like a wave being driven. You're rising up one moment, you're sinking the next. One minute you believe, the next minute you don't. We've got to make up our mind which way we believe. Do you believe he'll do it or not?
Because if you don't believe he'll do it, you'll never receive from God. You'll never receive it if you don't believe it. It's just faith 101. If you don't believe it, you won't receive it. You must have faith in God. And so that's what he says. We've got to make up our minds. If we don't make up our minds, he goes on to say that we stagger. We're unstable in all our ways. In other words, we stagger in our prayer like a helpless drunk. We're just staggering around. We don't know what we believe. We're just staggering around, staggering at his promises. We don't know what we believe. We don't know whether we believe it or not. Come on. We're just staggering around. We got to make our minds up. A doubtful person will never receive an answer to prayer, but a faith person of faith will. If you're in doubt, you'll never receive your answer. But if you have faith, you'll receive an answer. You got to have faith. Seeking must be done with your whole heart. Seek. And so we seek God with our whole heart. And then it says we got to knock. These scriptures that I read, it says we knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Asking or knocking, asking implies want. Seeking implies loss. Knocking implies need. So you ask because you want something, you seek because you've lost something, but you knock because you're needing something. And in the early days over in the Mediterranean area, if somebody come to your door, they'd always knock. And here we usually knock on people's doors too. We don't just walk in. You might get shot. But they'd always knock, and then somebody would come to the door and maybe open this little and say, "Who is it? What do you want? Why are you here?" That's kind of what this is implying. You go and you knock, they open, they ask, and you ask. They ask who you are and you tell them your need. We got to go to God in prayer, asking, seeking, and knocking to gain access to the Father. And that's what we have to do. So we say, "I'm knocking because I have a need." And we ask in confidence. We ask in confidence, with humility. We seek with care and knock with earnestness and perseverance. You keep knocking. That's what the Word of God says there in Matthew. He said you knock, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking until you finally have the resolution that you need. You keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Church, we got to go to God in prayer. You can't just get it with everyday life doing what you want. You ask in faith without wavering. No waver. I believe God's going to do it, and he'll do it. I know God's going to do it. He's going to do it. So oftentimes, the reason a Christian doesn't receive a need met is because of unbelief. Unbelief. Just can't quite wrap your head around the fact that if God said it, he'd do it. So we have unbelief. We cannot afford to live in this day and age with unbelief. We need to move on in. If there's any limitation to an answer to prayer, there's a limitation of faith, not of God's will or power. It's your limitation, not God's. We have to have faith. So back to our text today. They sought Jesus. They believed Jesus would heal them. Their faith was real, and the results were real. The Bible says he touched everyone and healed them. Never was there anyone that come to Jesus that he didn't heal them. Not a person. Whether he touched them or they touched him, they always received their need met. But they always had faith. And they didn't doubt. They believed he would answer their prayer. Everyone that needed an answer got it. So Mark 5:27, we see this woman with the issue of blood. What does she do? Same thing that our text said that these guys did. They pressed in and they touched his garment. This woman, and we talked about her Wednesday night, she came to Christ, heard that he was there, seen the group of people. He was on his way to heal, but it was Jairus' daughter. He was on his way. This woman heard that that was Jesus in the middle of that crowd somewhere. She had been sick. The Bible said she had spent everything, every dime she had for 12 years on physicians trying to get well of this sickness. She was bleeding, couldn't stop.
But what did she do? She saw the crowd. It's just an obstacle, but it didn't stop her faith. If I can just touch his garment. Apparently she had heard about him. Apparently she had heard he doesn't have to touch me, I just got to touch him. So what did she do? She pressed on, weaved her way between men and women's legs, whatever it took. Excuse me. Hey, get out of the way. I got to get to Jesus. I don't know what she did. You don't either. You just have to assume. But she pressed on until she got to where she needed to be. And all she could do was reach. Now, he's moving this whole time. He's not standing still. They are moving towards Jairus' house to heal his daughter, which turned out to be a resurrection instead. And they press through. She finally gets close enough to just thrust her hand through the crowd and touch the hem or the tassels on his garment, and he stopped. Who touched me? How would he know that in that crowd? There's people all around him pushing and shoving. They're traveling. Anyone could have touched him. Oh, no, not just anyone. I felt the virtue flow out. So what are you trying to tell us, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that we need to press in. You have a need, you're going to have to stop waiting on the outside, on the fringes of the crowd. You're going to have to stop allowing that barrier. That barrier, you've seen them barriers they put up sometime at parades and different stuff. They put a barrier and said, do not cross. You're going to have to press through. It might be a 10-foot tall, spiritually speaking, fence with razor wire on top. Electrified at that. You're going to have to get some bolt cutters, some wire cutters, and say, Lord, I am in desperate need. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. I've got my wire cutters. I am not grounded except in you. And I'm going to cut that wire. And I'm going through. Nothing's going to stop me from touching you. And when I touch you, I'm talking about in prayer. When I touch you, virtue's going to flow my way. Healing's going to flow my way. Deliverance is going to come my direction. My child's going to be restored. My marriage is going to be restored. My everything about me, my job is going to show increase because I touched you. And I'm not asking amiss. I'm asking in faith for those things, Father, you have promised. Whatever it takes to get to him, church, if you got to climb that 10-foot, you don't have any wire cutters, you got to climb that 10-foot tall fence with razor wire on top that's been electrified. Climb it. Climb it. Get to the top. It's worth the fight. It's worth the scars. It's worth the battle. Touch Jesus. That's what I wanted to tell you today. I got off on a tangent a while ago, but touch Jesus. He spoke that to me all week. We've got to touch Jesus. It won't happen. You got to have faith like these people did. I read that scripture in Mark, and it's like, wow. And I've read these scriptures before. It's funny how all of a sudden one will stick out to you. I've read that how they brought people about. But the only one I've ever remembered is the lady with the issue of blood. We hear that priest all the time. But there's other places where they brought the sick to Jesus. And they just touched him and they were healed. And we preach about the guys that took the tiles off the roof and let their friend down. And, oh, that's cool, man. And he got down there, Jesus touched him, and he was healed. What did Jesus say there? Your faith! Didn't he? Your faith made you whole. It was faith. It's always faith. faith. Let's press in. Amen. Well, I don't know where you're at today. If you need prayer, come. We'll help you pray. Not. You need to press in. No, we'll pray with you if you want prayer. But you understand where I'm coming from, don't you? Even if I pray for you, if you don't have faith and you're not pressing in, it's just a lot of hot air going. What do you mean, preacher? I mean what I said. If you don't have enough faith to believe, we're wasting our time. Really? Yes. Because if you don't have faith, you won't receive. It never once said the guy that was praying for you had to have faith, although he does. But you've got to have faith, or the guy praying for you's faith is not going to do you any good. So you got to have faith. Correct? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what the Word says. We have to diligently seek Him in faith. No wavering. Seeking God in faith. Well, would you stand with me?